Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Pesachim Daf Memchas, Pesachim 48. And today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara discusses on the bottom of Memchas Amud Aleph. The Gemara brings a brisa with respect to the amount of time and the amount of dough that it is permitted to knead on Pesach before it becomes Chametz. So the Gemara asks the question, Kama Shir Isa, what is the amount of dough that it's possible to knead on Pesach at one time and you're still able to protect it from becoming chametz on Pesach? So Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, says, "Bechitin, when as it relates to wheat, you can knead it until it's a kavin, until it's two kavin, and bisaorin, and with respect to barley, you can knead it until it's shalosha kavin, until it's three kavin, because the wheat, there's going to be more flour than the barley, and therefore three kavan of wheat, it's going to be considered greater energy or strenuous effort than the barley, and so therefore you're not going to be able to guard the dough from fermenting. Whereas Rabbi Nelson says the name of Rebbe Lezer, Chilaf Advarim, he says the opposite. He has the opposite approach. And the Gemara says, Avatayim, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochum, Omer, Bechitin, Shalosha Kavan, Misorin, Arba Kavan. So there's a different source. One says, by wheat it's three kavan, and by barley it's four kavan. So the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. The braisa that the second braisa is talking about, b'chasichata, it's talking about the wheat and barley that are very bad and thin. And the other braisa, the first one, is talking about malyasa, but very good barley. Meaning to say that the flour that comes out from a three kavan of wheat that are bad is equivalent to flour that comes out of two kavan of wheat that are good. So the Gemara says, Amara Papa Shmamina agreein chite chasichata mechite malyasa, that bad wheat is worse than good wheat, tafe midigarin and sare chasichata misare malyasa, is worse than bad barley, is worse than good barley. Dilu hasam, with respect to wheat, we say tilta and hacha revia. So there we say, here we say three by wheat, and by barley we say four. So anyway, the Gemara goes on and says, Amar Rav Kaba Milugana, that let's say you make flour with a measure of a kav, that it was in the place of Lugna, Lepisra, for Pesach, meaning to say that is the amount of dough that you can eat on Pesach at one time, and that you need on Pesach one time and guard it from protecting from Chametz. V'chein l'chala, and so too, the same thing with respect to challah, that's the amount of dough you need with respect to making the obligation to be challah. And the Gemara challenges as well, Tanamba. We learned in the Mishnah differently, Chamishim Revim Kemach V'od Chayavim B'Challah, that when you have a kav and a quarter of flour, that's when you're obligated to do challah. So the Gemara says, Halchik Kamar Kaba Milugnai, the kav from the people of Lugna, Nami Ayai Shirakari. That is the measurement of one kav and a quarter of challah. So says Rav Yosef, Hani Nashen Didan. Rav Yosef says, our women, Nagumefa Kafiza, Kafiza Lepisra, that they have our women have the practice to bake on Pesach Kafiza, a utensil that is able to hold three lugan Kafiza Pesach, only three lugan of flour at each time in order to protect it from becoming chametz. Amrei Abaye, my datech, what's your position? Why do you think that they had this practice? L'chumra, they think that it's a stringency so that the dough doesn't become chametz. Chumra dasu dekuo, it's a stringency that's going to come to make a leniency. Why? To come off because as a result of this, they're not going to be able to make challah, and by doing this, they're taking it out of the principle of challah. So the Gemara answers, no, Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yosef responds to Abaye, do avdan k'Rabbi Lezer. No, they didn't like Rabbi Lezer, because what Rabbi Lezer says, Arode, somebody takes down the bread and he bakes it in the small oven, but no single salon, he puts it in a basket at Sal Mitzar from L'Challah. The basket turns it into an obligation for challah. And the law is like Rabbi Lezer. So these women, they were taking down the dough, and then they were, after it was made into bread, they were obligated to bake. They would turn it in one basket, and that's how they had to make it challah. But we see from here at the first part of it, Rabbi Yosef says that the women had the practice of not making more than three quarters of a kav of flour one time on Pesach, so that they don't have to have chametz. And Abaye's response was that this is a problem, because by doing this, they're not going to be obligated in the mitzvah of challah. And so we see from here that it's a problem to do something so that you don't have to do a mitzvah. Well, I mean, you would think, okay, well, if we don't want to have to take challah from the dough, what am I doing wrong? But from Abaye's response to Rav Yosef, you see that it's wrong to put yourself in a situation where you're not obligated to have to to have to take challah. So this is a very important question. Can you put yourself intentionally in a place where you're going to be exempt from a mitzvah? So the Rabbi Shlomo Kluger writes in the Chachma Shlomo that we learn from here that you're prohibited to make the dough in a situation to intentionally say that you're not obligated in the mitzvah of challah. And it implies that this is in general an approach to what you have to, that you're not allowed to do this in general to avoid being obligated in mitzvah. And so too, we have a similar situation. Are you, let's say you know that somebody is going to come and he's going to ask you to borrow money, and you're going to have to lend to your fellow Jew at money without money, and you're not allowed to lend it on interest. Are you allowed to, in advance of this, lend the money to a non-Jew at interest so that you're not going to be stuck with money around when the Jew comes to borrow money from you? So the Avos Chesed writes that if it's your intention to uproot a mitzvah, then you're not allowed to do this intentionally to exempt from a mitzvah. So you wouldn't be allowed to do it in this case of lending the money to the non-Jew with the intent of avoiding having to do the Jew. However, the Karen Ora takes a different approach. He says from our sugi, it proves that there's no prohibition from the Torah to put yourself in a situation where you're thereby going to be exempt from having to perform the mitzvah, that it's not biblically prohibited to do it. But we see from the Avos Chesed that it's not the proper way to act.